In my book, I frame a business as a relationship. Because all a relationship is an exchange of energy. The same way you exchange energy with people and that manifests as a relationship, we exchange energy with our businesses.
I'm here today with Alexander Concepcion. You're the owner of Taco Street, locating, launching a book called Survival First.
A failed relationship is not one that ends, but one that lasts longer than it should. 80% you succeed, and you get like 79% and you fail. And there's just some arbitrary number that determines a binary outcome, success or fail. That's never the case in what we're doing. There's no like, you get like a fat F when you wake up and like you failed, it's over. When it comes to risk, which is the main character of this book, it's all about choice.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, once again to 15 Minute Friday. Easy to implement business tips for busy people who want to learn more and do better in the shortest amount of time possible. Busy people like yourself are, I just said it, busy. So let's get into it. I'm here today with Alexander Concepcion. Alexander, what's up, man? How are you?
Howdy. I am fantastic. Thanks again for hosting me. I'm excited to be in your digital living room to have this conversation. So let's begin.
Yeah, man. The pre-call, we just need to click record because the conversation we had prior is incredible. I think you're an interesting human, a great brain. And for the listener, you're the owner of Taco Street, locating. You were raised by Cuban immigrants in Miami. After burning his college diplomas, moved to Austin, Texas, stumbled into real estate, and became one of Texas's top producing and only taco-themed independent brokers. That's the short version. The thing that we were talking about prior is you're launching a book, which I'm already slated to read. It's called Survival First, The Rebel Entrepreneur's Guide to Risk, Riches, and Immortality. That's coming out next year. So I'm already following on Substack. I'm slated to read that, man. And that's just an intro to the audience, but you're an interesting guy. What did we miss that maybe isn't in that intro there?
I spent 3 years perfecting a spiced butter coffee recipe.
Okay.
And I wrote a piece about it that begins with a 16th century painting by Hieronymus Bosch called The Garden of Earthly Delights. And it's this absurdist, profound journey of spice and flavor and time and history.
Wow. Okay. So we're already starting a new podcast. Did you write about this? Have you published?
Yes.
You've published this, so
yeah,
I can go live. And where do I find that?
It's on my personal site. It's called The Chalice of Earthly Delights. And that's just my website, alexanderconcepcion.substack.com. And it's my attempt at surfing genius and madness together in the form of coffee.
Explain surfing genius and madness together. Well, what does that mean?
You know, just how loose is your leash on your creativity, and how far do you let your brain wander down a certain rabbit hole, and can... In this case, I take this very experimental journey and form this cohesive experience for someone to tag along to and have some fun along the way, maybe get some inspiration. But yeah, when it comes to writing, I like to get down.
What did it ended up tasting like? Give us a little bit about the notes. I know we're already on a tangent, but the coffee drinkers are already pouring themselves a cup. So
the closest comparable thing is Mexican mole.
Okay.
So it has all the spices, all the chilies, some chocolate tahini, some coffee. Coffee is like a side character in this larger orchestra of flavor. Some sweetener in the form of maple syrup or honey. But yeah, it's there's nothing like it that's ever, I don't think it's ever been done. It's fun.
I'm adding that Substack link in the show notes, the description, so people can go deeper. To preface the meat of our conversation, I like to call it a tweetable. I don't know if it's an exable or what do you call it now, but what kind of short quote or concept do you want to start our discussion with today?
It's probably the deepest discussion of my book.
Okay.
It actually starts from this guy, Neil Strauss, the guy who wrote like The Game and The Truth. And his quote is, "A failed relationship is not one that ends, but one that lasts longer than it should." And in my book, I frame a business as a relationship. Because all a relationship is an exchange of energy. The same way you exchange energy with people and that manifests as a relationship, we exchange energy with our businesses in very similar ways. And our relationship with our business can be good, like what you were telling me. You have like an amazing relationship with your business. It could be terrible and toxic or codependent. Or hyper-obsessive with a lot of like the contemporary business guru lifestyles out there. Very like aggressive, go, 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 crush it, conquer the world. But then there's the most dangerous relationship, which is the boring one. Because that's the one that it's not bad enough to leave, but it's not good enough to like really get fired up about. And those are the ones that are hardest to accept and notice, and the ones that go on far longer than they should. And my big suspicion is that right now one of the biggest epidemics, if you will, in the entrepreneur world is people in a bad or boring relationship with their business. And yeah, that's it's a very complex problem, but knowing it is a problem, I think is a really good place to start.
Yeah. And if the listener is thinking maybe even just intuitively or physically, like their physiology is changing, there's a possibility that they have this problem. They'd have to look internally, but they might have this problem. And I think it's interesting that you bring this up, because common advice, I've heard this a million times, you only fail when you quit. And you're saying the other thing. You're saying that the failure is sticking in something that you need to quit. So my real question is, like, how do you know when it's time to quit and move on versus stick it out a little bit longer?
I don't even buy into the frame of success and failing, because there's just so binary concepts. You have that in school where like you get 80%, you succeed, and you get like 79% and you fail. And there's just some arbitrary number that determines a binary outcome, success or fail. That's never the case in what we're doing. There's no like you get like a fat F where you wake up and like you failed, it's over. It's the reality that we tap out. We just stop. But kind of going back to the quote, like, have you been in a relationship with like a person that you ended it because it was like not the right relationship for you and you wanted to either end that relationship or transition into something else? Like, is that a failed relationship? No, it's just one that ended.
Yeah, it played its role.
And for me, when it comes to risk, which is the main character of this book, it's all about choice. And when it comes to the relationships, the most important thing we choose as entrepreneurs is our relationship to our business. And we have the freedom to choose a bad one, a toxic one, an amazing one. But these are all just different choices with different sets of upsides and downsides. And it just goes down to the very simple question, like, what do you want? And do you have it? And if not, what are you going to do to get it? And so much of the default in business is grow, 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 crush it, crush it, crush it. And it's like, will you marry someone you're not that into? No.
I hope not.
Like, yeah. And even like towards the end of my book, like, yeah, maybe you should end the business. Because it's not about your business surviving. It's about you, the entrepreneur, surviving, like the mad genius, the creator, the problem solver inside of you surviving. And for a lot of people, it's their business that is sapping that energy. Like if you're in a relationship where it's just, you're kind of just dying inside quietly.
Yeah.
Then like, yeah, you're in a relationship, you're succeeding in the contemporary like use of the word, but do you really want that? And no, maybe your business should die is, I think, a key element of understanding survival. Because if you can end a relationship that's not serving you, you buy the space to build the relationship you do want. And like success to me is what you were describing to me, that you can't believe that you make money because you have so much fun doing what you're doing and you're making a lot of money. That's the ultimate relationship that we're all really chasing at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Prior to the conversation, I was joking. I'm like, I can't believe I make money doing what I do. It lights me up. 90% of what I do doesn't feel like work. I'm not perfect though, Alexander, and I don't always even know what I want. I feel like I kind of stumbled into circumstances that worked for me, but like, what about the entrepreneur or the business person that's thinking, I mean, I was just told that I need to do X, Y, and Z, and then I'll achieve this goal, and they might not have a little uncertainty on what they want. Isn't it essential to just even understand what you want? Like, what if you don't have an understanding of just that? What do you do?
It's a good question. All of what we're doing is trying to make decisions under uncertainty. And it's when it comes to relationships, the one to avoid is called the situationship. It's the relationship that forms irrespective of boundaries and consciousness. It just becomes this thing that no one wants out of like passive acceptance rather than by conscious design. So it's just a question worth iterating on, which is like, what's the relationship that I want? And maybe right now you just need to make more money, which is fine. But in the long run, it's just iterating on that question of, what's the relationship that I want with my business or how I make money? But yeah, these aren't easy. Yeah. The questions are easy to ask, which is why I like questions so much. But these are answers that take years to answer. I'm still trying to answer them for myself.
It's not one size fits all.
No. And that's my biggest gripe with a lot of businessy things is the difference between prescription and description. A lot of business advice is like prescription. Do these things and you'll get these outcomes. Well, it might work for the person who wears the clothing of that advice. Like, hey, this is what works for me. But they make the mistake that what works for me must work for everyone. This one size fits all thing.
Yeah.
No, that's just not how like things work. Like someone's advice maps well to their own reality and circumstances and their own psychic landscape. So like crushing it means one thing to you and another thing to another person. But trying to like transmute one person's idea of like a word onto and mapping that to everyone else's reality, there's like, it doesn't make sense. Whereas in my approach is I describe a journey and that involves a lot of questions to ask and directions to apply those questions as it relates to survival and risk and opportunity. But what I do for my business may not make sense for your business, but the common denominator are the questions. So we can ask the same questions, and how they manifest in the decisions we make are going to be radically different.
It's you're teeing me up. I have to ask you what are, and you don't have to give them all. I mean, I'm going to read the book, but what are some of these questions that I need to be asking myself?
Oh man. So the risk formula that I built in the book is a Socratic method type question-based formula. So where risk equals damage times existence times exposure, damage is about the question, what's at stake? Why are we even thinking about this risk? Then existence is, does the risk exist or not? Like if you have a table with a cup on it, there's a chance the cup falls off the table. But if there's no cup on the table, then there's no risk of a cup falling off the table. And then there's exposure, which is how likely is the risk to happen. And back to this cup on table analogy, the closer to the edge of the table, the higher the likelihood. Right. And the closer to the center, the less likelihood. So those three questions are the ones I'm iterating on over and over and over again in the book. And that's just that's the spine that sets the entire structure of the book.
I'm in a lucky place where you were telling me you just recorded the audiobook. It's not released yet. I have some inside info, which I feel badass that we talked about it, but it's not out yet. However, we can follow your journey as it gets released early next year. Tell us again how we can follow and support you.
So right now it's on my Substack website, www. Right now you do have to put the whole thing, survivalfirstbook.com. And I'm putting a lot of excerpts or micro doses and behind the scenes making of the book series. So for anybody who's as interested in the ideas of the book, or for anyone that's interested in what the journey is, what's going to be almost be a four-year book writing journey, what that's like tactics and strategies and the emotions and the philosophies of a book journey, then I'm putting all of that on the website.
Which is fascinating how you unveil that, because you can read the book, you can listen to the audiobook read by Alexander himself, but you can also, through this Substack, actually peel back the layers and see what that whole process, a four-year journey, looked like. I think that's just incredible. Most people just release it and don't share the scars or share the process quite as much. So I'm in it to continue to support you, continue to read that. So I recommend people do just that, but I also recommend people take a little bit about what we talked about today and make a small difference, a small change in their routine, their plan, their business, their life. You tell me, based on what we've chatted about thus far today, based on what the book's built upon, what's like an integration assignment that we can do as early as the second to actually start making a change?
You describe the relationship you have with your business now. Just how does it make you feel? Everything you do in it. And then take some time And after that, describe what is the relationship you want? And then what can you do to go from point A to point B?
Where am I now in this relationship? What do I want? And what can I actually do to move from A to B?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds pretty darn simple, but we got to go ahead and do it, right?
I mean, the questions are simple, but the answers are the best kind of answers are the kind that take a long time to answer. I'm still in the process of answering that for myself and my business, and it's not easy. It's how I wound up in therapy, but it's part of the journey.
Well, I love what you brought up there, and we'll close out on something big here. I'm curious, what are one of those questions that you've recently been solving that, again, it's not like you just took a pen and paper and created a solution in 10 seconds, something that mm-hmm. you've been working on. What's been a big reveal from the last, yeah. Month or year?
There's so much value of the experience that I've gained in my business that if I document that experience, and in this case, I turned it into a course called Apartment Locating Mastery that really does honor to everything that I've done in this business. And it creates a tool for me to upload my experience and my wisdom of what I've done into something that I could sell to other people so that for whoever chooses themselves in this journey can buy this course and slingshot themselves from point A to a much faster journey than what I had to do. And this kind of just creates a path for other people to use and leverage my knowledge and experience. And making the course and selling it, I'm flexing new muscles here.
Hmm.
I'm doing new things and I'm finally excited again. Because for a long time, the business was fine.
Yeah.
But me, the entrepreneur, was dying. And I needed a new way to spark that fire again. And building this course is my current answer to that. I just got to figure out how to sell it now. Because I'm better at making stuff than selling stuff. But that's just part of the journey.
It's sparking your fire. And it's fair to assume that it is descriptive, not prescriptive.
Yes.
This is your journey and a reflection of it, but it's not it's not one size fits all. It's mm-hmm. sharing what you've learned.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I just wanted to bring that full circle. I appreciate mm-hmm. your time with you. I don't know why I do a 15 to 20 minute show. We always go over. If the mm-hmm. listener thinks these are too long, I almost want to say give me feedback, but I almost want to say screw it, because I love these conversations with people like Alexander. Mm-hmm. It would mean the world to me if you send me or him a direct message, or easiest thing you can do is go to the show notes and click a couple links that we put there to keep in touch with him. And I appreciate you taking the time to share with me and the audience today, man.
Yeah, thank you.